Good morning, folks. It's good to see you out this morning, and it's already been good to be here, hasn't it? I appreciate the Lord and His presence. And if you got your Bibles, open up to 1 John, chapter number 2. We're about to wrap this chapter up, probably will today. And there's just a lot of stuff in this little book. But I appreciate it. I appreciate the instruction that God gives us. And we've been looking there, verse number 24 down through 26. And Lord willing, we'll get through the end of the chapter today. But I'll just start the reading once again there in verse number 24. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. It says, "Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father." And what that tells me is, if you don't let the Word of God do something in you, and hold on to what God's telling you, that there's no progress to be made in the Father and the Son. Right? It don't just happen by happenstance, Jesse. We have to be intentional in this thing. And when we're not, that's what happens. That's where our society's at today. Christians quit being intentional about serving the Lord. And when we quit being intentional, then we fall by the wayside. And nothing's accomplished, John. But if we want things accomplished, we've got to stay right here close to the Word of God. Verse 25, it says, "And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life." Aren't you thankful for the promise that we have? Nathaniel's already said it. Man, if our promise ended when our life ended, we wouldn't have much, would we?
Right.
I mean, there's not much here. James said it's just like a vapor. Appears for just a little while. Vanisheth away. That'd be a short promise, wouldn't it? But we have an eternal promise. He says, verse number 26, "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you." And so he's writing these things to prevent us from being led away from the truth. And there's plenty out there that would try to seduce the believer today. I mean, the devil would like nothing more than to get every believer derailed off to the side, somewhere believing some false doctrine. I was just reading this morning how important it is to teach true and sound doctrine. Because if you don't, there's a judgment coming one day.
Right.
And there was a fellow over there in the book of Jeremiah. His name was Hananiah, and he prophesied falsely. Jeremiah had said that there was going to be bondage for them under Babylon.
Right.
And then Hananiah came back with a false prophecy, trying to seduce people into believing that things were going to be okay in 2 years. And you know what God did to him?
Yep.
He killed him.
Yep.
So you know how dangerous it is to try to seduce people and teach them falsely? God takes it real serious.
Right.
And so we need to be, I don't want to stand here and be telling you false things, but also I don't want to be deceived by those things either.
Right.
You know how we stay out of that?
Yep.
We stay right here. And so that brings us to verse number 27. It says, "But the anointing which we have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." And we'll just finish the reading. "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." And so as we continue on here in verse number 27, what we find is a provision that's made to every believer. He says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you." We read it up in verse number 20, I think it was. He says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One."
Yep.
That unction and that anointing, it's talking about God giving us the Holy Ghost down on the inside. And that is the mark of any true believer. He's got the Holy Ghost. If you have not the Holy Ghost, you're none of His. Romans chapter 8 is real plain about that. But every one of us that's been saved, we have the Holy Ghost living on the inside. We are His abode. We are the temple, the tabernacle of the Holy Ghost. And He dwells in us, Brother Jerry. I don't always recognize it, do you? There's times in my life I forget that He's in there. But there's times that I can't help but know He's in there. And I appreciate that. And but He's commanded us here that we abide in Him. And he goes on, but the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you. In other words, that it remains in you. And you need not that any man teach you. Now, does that mean that teachers are not a good thing? No, John's teaching them, isn't he?
That's right.
He's already wrote them an old commandment, and then he said a new commandment. So he's teaching them truths. But what he's trying to explain to them, John, is that they don't have to have somebody to explain everything about this to them, because they've got an abiding unction, an anointing on the inside that they can hear the word themselves.
Yep.
And you know what can happen? The Holy Ghost can instruct them on how that's to be applied in their life and how to understand that.
Right.
And so that's why I really believe that somebody who is a child of God, who has an interest in the truth, you know, you got to have an interest in the truth.
Yes.
But if you want the truth, you know what the Holy Ghost will do? He'll make sure you get truth.
Right. Yes,
and I personally believe from the Scripture that if you want what's right, that you'll get what's right. But if you don't care and you're loose about this stuff and you don't take it seriously, that's when you're just led astray with every wind of doctrine. And so we've got to be very serious, and as I've already said, be intentional about what the Word of God teaches. And we don't have to learn, we don't have to listen to these seducing spirits. I've said this over and over. You know, there's been periods of my life when me and my wife, well, even before she was my wife, when I moved to college and I started going to churches. But Jerry, it didn't take long to figure out which ones had the right spirit and which ones didn't. And there was times that I could walk in, and before the service started, I knew to walk out.
Right.
And I don't know how to explain that, but there was no question in my mind that I did not need to be there. And then there would be times that maybe I'd sit there for a little while and things would seem okay for a little while. And then something would be said or done. And then the Holy Ghost come by and say, "Hey, do you really think that's right?" "No, Lord, I know it's not.
Right.
I need to get out of this place." And even after me and my wife got married, we'd try. Man, there was one morning I remember we went to this church and they had a Baptist name, and we go in, and the first thing I start seeing, Nathaniel, is we walk in this thing, and we go in, and it's like, I don't know. I mean, it looks like maybe they were decorated for Bible school. I don't know what. But they started rolling in with Hawaiian shirts and shorts on and stuff, and I was like, this does not seem like a place that I want to worship. And we left there. Went to another church. I think we might have went to three churches that morning before we settled on one. But that's just part of it.
Right.
And the Spirit is not, it's not the same Spirit everywhere you go.
Right.
And if you've been to many churches around, you understand what I'm talking about.
Right.
And we laugh at that. But if I didn't know no better,
I
didn't know no better, see, if I hadn't had the truth that I'd had all those years prior, there's no telling what I'd be into today. And we went to this other church. Now, they believe the King James Bible, and I believe for the most part it was a good church. But they started having this, I don't know why, I don't mean to get off on this stuff, but we started having this Wednesday night Bible study. And you know, that was appealing because they had a college age class. That was appealing to me. You know, I wanted to get to know some other Christian people. And so me and my wife started going and really loved the people. But it wasn't long till these other people would come in and they'd start reading something different, Nathaniel. And you know what the church said about it? They didn't say nothing about it. It's just innocent. They just don't know no better. And that's probably right to a degree. But somebody's got to step up. If you want to honor the Lord, somebody's got to step up and teach them the right way. And it don't take long. Kevin says it right when he gets up here. We let just a little bit in. Whether it be a wrong verse, the wrong kind of song, wrong kind of dress up here singing the song. And when I say dress, I'm not talking about a lady's dress. I'm just talking about outfits in general. Men, women alike, whatever. It don't take long. We shun the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And we have some other kind of spirit.
Yes.
And those spirits are seducing spirits.
Yes, sir.
Man, they might make it, they might look good, and they might feel good, but they don't minister to the inner man. And so we got to be very careful. John 16:13, I've read this several times here. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth.
Yep.
All truth. I believe what it says. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So if you're here today and you've been born again, you know the Holy Ghost is living on the inside. You know what you can trust? You can trust Him. And Kyle, when you're in the wrong place and that Holy Ghost says, get out, just get out. Just leave it. I mean, just it is what it is. Believe it. And there's been times, I mean, different things, not just church. There's been times I've just been around the wrong person. And be like, I need to get out of here. They might claim to be a preacher. But they don't have to say a whole lot. And you get that uneasy feeling on the inside that I don't need to be here. You know what you do? You just turn around and walk off. You get out of it. I don't need to be there. When my spirit and their spirit's not bearing witness with one another, there's something wrong. And so you have to just say, okay, Something's messed up here. And I'd rather be safe than sorry, wouldn't you? So the thing about God, though, and His Spirit is He cannot lie. He will guide you to all truth. God, it is impossible for Him to lie. The Bible says He cannot lie. I'll just believe God, don't you? So what we can do as Christians, we can be like those Bereans over in Acts 17:11. When we hear something that doesn't seem just maybe not what we've heard before, maybe don't know if it's just right, but you're just not sure, what you can do is you can compare it with what this Word of God says. And it says, they received the Word with all readiness of mind. In other words, what they did was they listened to it, and they let it slip in, and they were comparing that with the things that they already knew. They were ready to hear it. And it says, and then searched the Scriptures, you know how often? Daily. If nothing else in the Scripture tells you to read your Bible daily, Acts 17:11 tells you that they searched them daily, whether those things were so. So they were hearing new teachings. And they were some good teachings being told, but they weren't familiar with them. And, you know, there's been times in my life that I've had to, even when we first started coming back here and Kevin was the pastor, there's been some things that I've learned just under his preaching that maybe I hadn't heard before. And you know what I had to do? I had to search the Scriptures. And I've even called him at times and said, hey, brother, now you said this, right? I heard this. Is this right? Where do you get that at? Tell me where you get. Yep. Show me. I want to know what the Bible says.
Right.
And if it's right, I'm for it.
Yep.
If it's wrong, I'm again it. That's right. Forget it. So we just need to search, and you say, well, I don't know if God will make it real clear to me or not. Maybe I can't understand the Word of God. I don't have the knowledge that you have, or don't have the knowledge that Brother Kevin has, or whoever. Well, you got the same God on the inside if you're saved that I do. And the last time I checked, the book of James still says in James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to who? All men. Liberally. That means plentifully, willfully. He's glad to give it. He's glad to give it. And upbraideth not. That means there's no problem with him giving it. He don't have a bit of problem with it. And it shall be given him. That's a promise. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. So in other words, if you're going to ask, you better believe he'll give you the truth. If you don't believe it, there ain't no sense in asking. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You can't ask the Lord for an answer, but then not believe he'll give you the answer. You're just fighting a losing battle. But he says, ask in faith, nothing wavering. So you know what we need to do? When we need help from the Lord, we need guidance. What you do is you ask him. And Doug, we just trust him that he's going to give us what we need. And there's been times in life that you might get right to the point where you absolutely have to have it before God gives you clarity. You may have to trust the Lord not to just give it to you right then, but that when the time comes, that decision or whatever has to be made, John, you just trust him all the way to there. And that's when he'll bring. Amen. That's right. And there have just been several times in life like that. I mean, decisions that we make, we don't know. And we need wisdom. And say, Lord, I've searched your word, and I can't find the exact direction. Lord, I've got uneasy feelings. And, you know, for the most part, if I don't have a clear direction, I try to stay where I'm at, where I know was right. And so if you don't have anything clear, what you do is you just say, Lord, I'm going to stay put until you tell me differently. And usually that works out pretty good. I don't know why I'm here, but that's where we're at. So anyway, what I'm trying to tell you is that we have something down on the inside. I got to get right back in the right book. We have something down on the inside that we find in verse number 27 that is not, I'm not special compared to you. God gives this Holy Spirit to every believer. And hey, I don't have any more or less of it or whatever. You can be filled with it just like I can be filled with it. And I desire to be, and I hope you do. But what he's teaching is not that teaching is bad, but he's trying to get them to understand that they have a teacher living on the inside. But that same anointing, that's what he's saying, teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. So just stay with what you know to be true that the Holy Ghost reveals to you, and just trust him. And he'll provide what you need. So we see provision there in verse number 27. Let's move on to verse 28. He says, and now, little children, abide in him, and this is real important, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And so what we see here is there's some preparation for every one of us to make. And I'm talking to believers right now. You can be saved and not be prepared to meet the Lord. I hope y'all understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying you're not going to heaven. What I'm saying is There might be a shameful time if the Lord finds you not ready. For the sinner, if you're not ready, if you've never been born again, it'll be a real bad time. But it's going to be bad for the saint too, who's not prepared to meet Him. Because judgment is coming. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the deeds done in this body. It's going to pass through the fire. And it's going to be put on display. I don't know who all is going to see it. But what I know, it's going to be very open. And God's going to judge us for those things. And either we're going to have wood, hay, and stubble, or we're going to have gold, silver, and precious stones. And I prefer the latter. And I don't want Christ to come and for everybody in this church to have to drop our heads and say, oh no, we were not ready. I don't want Him to come and find me not in this book, not praying, not teaching my children, not faithful to the house of God, out doing things instead of doing the things of God. I don't want Him to find me that way. And I don't want Him to find you that way. We've got to be ready for His coming, because I don't know if you've watched the news any over the last year. It's going to happen soon. I don't know if that's today or if that's 100 years from now, but either way, it's soon. And He's coming and things are getting ripe for the picking here. But, you know, we looked at this earlier in the chapter, how we are to abide in Him, but the purpose is that we not be ashamed at His coming. So what we need to know is that we need to be abiding in Him in such a way that when He comes, we can receive Him joyfully. And we should have the attitude, and I've said this before, of John, the writer here, and the Apostle Paul. John said, even so, come. He was ready for Him. Paul said, I'm now ready. Ready to be offered. He knew that he had fought a good fight. But if the coming of Christ was today, how would it find you? That's the question.
Yes, sir.
I mean, that's the question that we got to understand that the writer is trying to get into the mind of the reader. Is what would happen to you if Christ came today? Would you be happy about it? Or would you have to say, oh no, I'm not ready? And that can go for a believer. You cannot be ready. And all of us have things that we need to fix, don't we? I don't want Him to come and me have bitterness in my heart, do you? I don't want Him to come back and find me and my wife in a feud. I don't want Him to come back and find that I'm allowing my children to live just any way and be rebellious. I don't want my house out of order. I don't want problems in our church. Kevin, I don't want to be in a church preaching false doctrine. I mean, all those different things. It's important. I want every decision that I've made, when the Lord comes, for Him to say, you did the best you could do with the light that you've been given. Now I have to question myself, though. Am I really making the best decisions with the light that I've been given? And I don't always know that. Well, probably I do. The answer is no. I know better than a lot of the things that I do. I know better than a lot of things that I say to people. I know better than the way that I react to my family sometimes. All those things I know. Man, I'm a leaky vessel. And I have all those things in there, but it's real easy to let them slip out. It's a constant battle. We require a lot of maintenance, don't we? At least I do. I require a lot of maintenance. But I don't know how else to say it, but I need it. So we got to be prepared. And so So are we too busy in other things that we don't have time to abide in Christ? That's what he says, right? He says, now little children, abide in him. So the way that we are ready for his appearing and that we can have confidence and not be ashamed is the first part of the verse, right? That we abide in him. So if you want the second part to be good, the first part has to be right. It's a cause and effect relationship. That will cause that effect. Abiding in Christ will cause you to look forward to his coming. But the moment that you get away from abiding in him, you dread his coming. And you say, well, a Christian ought not to dread his coming. Well, if he knows what he's doing, he should.
Yeah, brother.
If he knows that he's out of the will of God, if you're a Christian here today and you're not in the will of God, then you ought to dread to see the Savior. And you say, well, that's counterintuitive. Not if you understood that the judgment is coming and that there's true rewards to be given and that one day we're going to see, we'll get there here shortly, but one day we're going to see him as he is. See, me and you've never seen him as he is yet. But there's going to be a day we'll see him as he is, we'll have a real understanding of what he's done, and then we will look back at our life and say, what was I thinking when I made that decision?
Amen.
When there was a day coming that I needed some crowns to lay at the foot of Jesus. But yet I squandered it because I didn't see him as he is.
Right.
But there'll be a day we will. And there's going to be some things opened that we're not ready to be opened. And we're going to see ourselves for what we really are. And so if we're out of the will of God, we ought to dread his coming. I'm not saying we don't look forward to heaven and there'll still be good. But before all that good, I'm afraid, there's going to be a lot of tears to be shed. Now you go read it. But you don't find tears being wiped away from our eyes till way late in Scripture. You think about that. You go study that for yourself.
Yep.
And I'll leave it at that. There may be some tears that you're not expecting to cry. And there was a day that just stuck on me. When I read that and figured out when that really was. Brother Jerry, judgment's not going to be easy. We better make some preparation. I'd rather cry the tears now
rather than
to be crying them there.
Right.
We ought to be willing to do without some things here so that we have some things over there. And I can stand up here and say this all that I want to, but that does not make it easy to live. Do not think of me teaching this. Just because I teach this Bible don't mean I can live every bit of it right. I'm a big failure, and I know that. But I'd like, whenever Christ comes, to not be. But we are to abide in him while he abides in us. You know, we are a tabernacle. As I already said, we're a temple of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God dwells in you. So he's abiding in us, but at the same time, he has already done that part. Almost in every relationship that you find in Scripture, you'll find that God has a part, and then you know what else? Man has a part. As we taught a while back, the Bible says, it's plain that God keeps us, right? We're sealed into the day of redemption. We're kept by the power of God.
Right.
He that hath begun a good work will perform it. God's doing all that. But then at the same time, and we'll read it, he ends this book, I think. He says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. That's getting ahead of us, but he keeps us. But you know what our responsibility is? To keep ourselves. It's like almost every aspect of our relationship with God He's doing the eternal work, but yet we've got a temporal work to do. And we're to be prepared. So if you've been born again, in a sense, He's already prepared you, right? He's done something on the inside that's changed the inner man, but we're still dealing with an outer man. And so our job is not to change the inner man. He's already done that. As we'll read later on, he cannot sin. But we've got an outer man that is sinful, and we've got to keep him in check. And so we've got to be prepared. But I thought about this concept of abiding, and I'm wanting to abide in him. And the only thing I know to liken that to best is where I abide right now, my home, my house. Right? I got to thinking, what do I look for? What do I look for in a good place to live? I'm not talking about all the bells and whistles, all the details. I'm talking about generally. What are the things that you look for? I mean, what's a house for? First off, I mean, it's for shelter, right? Because there's some hot days, there's some cold days, there's some rainy days. You know what I want? I want to be able to get out of that. And you know what Christ is? He's a good place to get out of the heat, get out of the cold, get out of the storms of life. Some shelter. So we're to abide in it. There's no reason we ought not want to abide in Him. No better place to shelter than in Christ. But there's also security. My house, I don't know about you, but my house has door locks. I've even got deadbolts on them. Does everybody here have locks on your doors? Now, some of you may not lock them, and amen for you. But you know what we do before we go to bed at night? I check them locks, make sure they're locked. Makes me feel secure. Now, I know that, you know, somebody kick that door down in a heartbeat or whatever. But it helps, don't it? I bet you do too, for the most part. You may forget. And there's times that I'll get up in the morning and I'll walk to the door and I'll say, oh man, we didn't lock that door. Thank you, Lord, for watching over us last night. Thankful, Lord, that everything's still here. And my family's still well. But we find security in our abode. And I don't know about you, but when I go home and I'm hungry, I don't ask. I just go to the refrigerator and open it. Open the cabinets. Got something to eat. Something to drink. We find sustenance at our abode. Guess what you find in Christ? Sustenance. He'll take care of you. He'll give you exactly what you need. And one of the greatest things for me is there's no better place for me to be than at home. When I get home, I'm satisfied. And you know what I found in my life with Christ? When I'm abiding in Him, John, you know what I am? I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with Him. No better place to be than just in Christ Jesus. And one of the big things that I really like about my abode at home is there's times I just want to separate myself from everything else in the world. You know what I find at home? Some separation. Not from Christ, but just from the world. And there's times in this world that I want to just get away and be separate from everything else that's going on. And you know where I find the greatest separation at? Is when I separate and get with Christ. And that's the things we look for in our house, right? We want to be able to separate from the world. We want to be satisfied. We want to be sustained. We want security and we want shelter. I mean, that's if you lump everything in, that's what it all is, right? And that's what Christ is to us. And if we abide in Him, that's what we'll find in Him every time. But, the question becomes, you know, we're to abide in Him, and He's abiding in us. So is our house too full for Him to have a place to live? Do we kick Him out because we've got too much going on? You see, we belong to Him. We're bought with a price, the Bible says. He bought us outright, and we are paid in full. Right? He had the perfect payment plan. It was one and done. One payment.
Right.
And it was made. Never have to be made again. But He deserves our all. He owns us.
Right.
We fail to remember that, Nathaniel. When we do our own thing, what we're doing is failing to remember whose we really are. And that's a dangerous place to be. But he deserves our all. And I thought, if I'm letting him abide, and I'm his abode, I'm his temple, temple of the Holy Ghost, he should have, if I have one in there, he should have the master suite.
Right.
He should have the head of the table.
Yep.
Right? He should be the one that calls the shots. But how often am I the one that puts myself in that place? And he's the one, you think about it, when he owns us, Tanner, he owns us. He's letting us live in his temple. Free of rent. He owns it. We don't. He's letting us stay. He's the landlord here. But yet we treat it just opposite, don't we? And so when you start putting it in those, in that light, it makes us feel and think a little different, don't it? But we'll wrap up. Just the question is, at his appearing, how will Christ find you? And how will he find me? And I don't know a better question to end on than that. We need to ponder on, but that don't need to be something that we just ponder on today. That needs to be the question that I ask myself every morning when I'm talking to the Lord. I need to say, Lord, I want to be ready. If you come today, I want to make sure that everything is right to the best of my ability. I understand we can't be peaceable with every man. Paul couldn't. He just said, do it as much as is in you, right? As much as lies within you. But he expects us to do our part, Brother Steve. And so, how will he find you? I appreciate y'all's good attention. I meant to finish, but just didn't get to. But we'll have prayer for anyone that wants to pray back there in the fellowship hall and in the classrooms.